You are listening to Radio Free Signs of the Times, broadcasting into the heart of an occupied America.
Welcome to another Signs of the Times podcast. I'm Joe Quinn.
I'm Henry C.
I'm Scott Ogren.
And I'm the special guest.
Yes,
special guest.
As you just heard, this week we have Laura with us yet again, and we're going to be discussing some of the events over the past week that have made the news. Specifically, we just had a few stories recently about supernovas and new comets, and we're pondering the question as to what this means. Are these portents of doom? The end of the world, perhaps? We don't know, but we're going to investigate that and talk about it a little bit and find out what it's all about.
So here we are, another week's gone by, and the world is closer to plunging off the cliff into the fiery abyss than ever.
And that's not a throwaway comment or just a fickle comment, because, it may sound like one to a lot of people, but the fact is that we're watching the news every day, we're watching world events every day, and we almost don't even believe it, but it's right there in front of us.
Funny thing is, my mother called me tonight. My mother's in Florida. She's 84, going on 85 years old. And she says to me, things are really terrible. She lives in a retirement community. She said, there is George Bush, stands up there in front of people. He wasn't even elected. He started World War III. We're all going to be destroyed, and he's making jokes about it. He thinks it's funny. This is my mother, 84 years old.
Go, Grandma.
Yeah. So, if 84-year-old grandmas can see it, I think that it's time for other people to be able to see it, too. And according to her, this is pretty much the subject of conversation in her entire community, that the old ladies and the old gents get together at the little community center where they
play chess.
I don't think they play chess
dominoes
there. I think they play dominoes and they play shuffleboard. Shuffleboard's a big thing in Florida. Have you ever seen shuffleboard?
Oh, is it a dance?
Shuffleboard is kind of like
it sounds like an old people's dance.
No.
It's like
shuffleboard.
No.
It's like a bastardized form of curling without the ice.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What are they used to?
These long sticks that are kind of got a little curved end on them, and they have these like pucks.
They're false teeth.
Yeah, and then you slide the puck across the pavement, and it has to land on a little marked place or a square or something that has numbers on it.
Mm.
And I guess that's how you... I've never played it myself. I'm not old enough to play it yet.
Yeah.
And the way the world's going, you never will be.
Ain't that the truth? Yes, today we had some interesting news that apparently there was some sort of cosmic ray burst that was noted within the last few days, and they think that it may be a precursor to a supernova. The supernova is in the area of the constellation Aries, which is right beneath the foot of the constellation Perseus, which I found to be quite interesting. They also said that it lasted exactly 33 minutes, this lighting up of the atmosphere. 33 minutes. Is that a signal to anybody, or am I just...
It's a signal to the Masons.
Yeah. Am I going nuts or what? And then at the same time, we have an interesting comet that's swinging around. You looked up the name of the discoverer, didn't you? What was the name?
Yeah, he's Polish.
He's Polish, yeah.
Podmanski.
Yeah.
Podmanski's comet, I think. It's got this other kind of official name of C-2006, blah, blah, blah. But
when exactly was it discovered?
It was discovered on the 2nd of January.
So by
this Polish
recent
guy.
Yeah, very recent.
Very recent, yeah. And so what does this name mean in Polish?
It means captured. It's actually from Russian.
Captured. Very interesting.
The other interesting thing is in that article that talked about the comet, there was a guy's name, Andrew Pierce, who happened to be the same guy who in 2004 was the fifth person in that year to see a comet with the naked eye. And that was a record, because never before had five comets been seen with the naked eye in one year. So that kind of suggests that...
Harbingers of doom, perhaps?
Well, it kind of suggests that there's either more of them up there, or, well, There may be more of them up there, but they're definitely closer.
Well, then there's also the issue of all of the new moons that have been discovered around Jupiter and Saturn.
And Uranus,
yeah. All of a sudden now they can see them because they've got these fantastic new telescopes, you know. I mean, people have been looking at these things for, you know, a couple hundred years at least, or however long the telescope has existed. How long? Who invented the telescope?
Galileo?
Well, he didn't invent it, but he was the first one to become famous for it and infamous for it, even.
Yeah, so they've been looking at these bodies for a long time, and they've been looking at, you know, for 50 years or more, they've been looking at them with some fairly powerful telescopes, and they never saw these, and now all of a sudden they've accumulated a whole new gaggle of moons, and just nobody seems to have any explanation for it except that, well, we couldn't see them before. We've got better telescopes now. We can computerize the viewing, and we can remove all of the distortion, and we can see stuff we never saw before. Or maybe...
Which makes you wonder what they can do with their spy satellites.
Well, if Ark was here, he would probably... Well, he may have something to say on, you know, the whole idea of the observer and the observed. I mean, is it a coincidence that now that they have the capacity to see them, that these things are actually there to be seen? I mean, were they not there before, or were they always there?
Is the cat dead,
the
or is he not dead?
Yeah.
So, anyway, the world is a very interesting place right now. We understand that the Israeli political gang have been making jokes about the sanctions that they're going to impose on the Palestinians, you know, just that these very hungry people who don't have jobs, who have to struggle to have enough food to eat, it's just going to be like putting them on a diet, you know, and then they laughed about it. Yeah, it was one of those things that really gets you going. You start to wonder, is anybody on this planet paying attention? Is anybody? I mean, are there any governments? Does anybody out there have a soul? Anybody? If you do, raise your hand. I mean, if you feel that this is an outrage, if you can see that this is not another repeat of what happened in Europe prior to the coming to power of the Nazis across the face of the land.
Well, maybe we should just give our listeners the details of that just to make
okay,
clear for them.
Okay, go ahead, give them the details. I'm pretty outraged. I don't want to talk about it anymore.
This is from a story that was originally carried in Haaretz Daily, Israeli Daily newspaper. And
which is a lot more truthful about what's going on in Israel than any of the American media.
Yes, isn't it? Well, we talked about the media last week. You know, you people in America, you just don't even know what's going on if you're not reading the science page.
But anyway, the story goes that the Hamas team, that's the Israeli team set up to deal with this new problem that they have, which is that Hamas, the terrorist organization, which is coincidentally pretty much owned by Israel anyway, but we'll maybe get into that later. But the Hamas team, the Israeli Hamas team, which is headed by Prime Minister, well, I suppose ex-Prime Minister now, Sharon's advisor, Dov Weisglass, and including the Israeli Defense Forces Chief of Staff, the Director of the Shin Bet, that's the Israeli Internal Intelligence Agency.
We don't need the details, just get to the good part.
We're getting there. And senior generals, etc., officials convened for a discussion with Foreign Minister Livni on ways to respond to the Hamas election victory. Everyone agreed on the need to impose an economic siege on the Palestinian Authority, and Weisglass, as usual, provided the punchline. He said, "It's like an appointment with a dietitian. The Palestinians will get a lot thinner, but won't die," the advisor joked. And reportedly, the participants all rolled around with laughter at this really, really funny joke about people being starved.
Here we're talking about people who lived on this land for the last 1,000 years. According to the best genetic studies, the Palestinians are probably the descendants of Jews who remained in Palestine after the diaspora, and who then converted to Islam under the Muslim rulers. And essentially, they are the descendants of the original Jews that lived in Israel, and they have been there for well over 2,000 years. Okay? Now they're there. And then these other people come along who say, "We're the real Jews. You guys aren't Jews because you don't have the right religion." And God gave this land to us, and we're going to take it. Well, basically, you know, Great Britain is the one that gave it to them. They made a deal with them if they could get America to come into the war. But that's a whole other story.
The First World War.
First World War, that is, yes, the Balfour Agreement. And so here they are. They've had their land taken away from them. Their houses have been razed. Their trees have been cut down. Their way of life for 1,000 years has been completely and totally destroyed by invaders who are occupying their land, who fenced them in, who put them into concentration camps. And now they're saying, we're going to impose sanctions on you because you had a democratic election and you elected who you chose. Remember, they're pushing democracy over there. So now we're going to sanction you and starve the people. Starve the people. Now, just imagine if the entire Muslim world, and we're talking about over 1 billion people. There are over 1 billion Muslims in the world. Just think about that. I don't think there's that many Christians. I don't think there's that many Jews. I know there's not that many Jews. But just imagine if the entire Muslim world decided to impose sanctions on the United States because they didn't like George Bush. And they decided to punish all the people of the United States because they voted for George Bush. Now, did anybody really vote for George Bush? Come on, raise your hand if you voted for George Bush. You didn't vote for George Bush? I didn't think so. Nobody voted for George Bush. But it's not who casts the votes that counts. It's who counts them that determines the election. Nevertheless, as I was saying, so here these Palestinians are in this terrible situation. And they're joking. They're joking. Oh, not only are they joking about starving them, but they're publishing cartoons about them and their religion. Well, I mean, you know that I don't really care about religion that much. I think all of them stink. I think we ought to get rid of all religion. But the fact is that this is what these people believe in. And for the most part, they've been fairly peaceful people. They've minded their business. They've stayed on their side of the world. You know, they keep to themselves, or they did at least until they started getting pushed out of their country by occupiers and invaders. Everything was fine until then. And now they're being joked about. Cartoons are being published about them. And it reminds me an awful lot of what was going on in Europe prior to the Nazi Holocaust against the Jews.
Well, that comment has been made, or that comparison has been made before now by other people as well, and I get the impression that it's quite often it's taken just as the opinion of or a comment by someone who is particularly anti-Israel, and that it's just used as the kind of the worst thing that can be said against Israel, and a lot of people kind of would maybe tend to dismiss it as just an extremist kind of view, but as time is progressing now, it's and things are developing in Israel and Palestine, it's no longer just a subjective opinion, really, because, I mean, there are objective facts on the ground, as Bush and Sharon used to enjoy employing the creation of facts on the ground to further their policies. But there are facts on the ground now in Palestine, in occupied Palestine, which, you know, have striking similarities to the way that the Nazis treated the Jews and other minorities in Germany.
Well, sure, I have an entire collection of cartoons that were drawn about Jews prior to beginnings of the Holocaust. They were very similar in type to the cartoons that were recently done about the Muslims, about Muhammad. There was a little bit of an exception, of course, because these cartoons particularly targeted the founder of the Muslim faith. The cartoons about the Jews were slightly different because they targeted Jews themselves. They were very explicit and stereotypical and essentially portrayed the Jews as the cause of all the evils of the world. This was quite a horrible thing. The rank and file of Jews were not the cause of anything. They were good and peaceful people. They were attacked maliciously and viciously. There's no excuse for what was done. They were deliberately targeted, just like the Palestinians are being targeted today. So we when you think about cartoons as just being freedom of speech, well, in a certain sense, these cartoons that were drawn about the Jews in that day and time were just freedom of speech. Of course, at this point in time, you can no longer publish cartoons about the Jews because it's no longer freedom of speech, it is anti-Semitism. There are laws against anti-Semitism because, of course, the cartoons that were drawn about the Jews led to a Holocaust in which millions of them were viciously, ruthlessly exterminated. Now, do we suppose that cartoons being drawn about Palestinians are going to lead to them being maliciously and viciously exterminated as well? It's not too far a comparison to make.
Well, that's what is effectively going on and has been going on for years, only rather than coming in one swift blow, which it may yet, they're being slowly starved to death. Their farms are being destroyed. Their olive groves are being uprooted.
Well, that's very similar to what happened in Nazi Germany. They first started taking their businesses away from them or boycotting any business owned by Jews, raiding them or taxing them or finding excuses to deprive them of their, you know, hard-earned property and it, you know, finding ways to sell their houses or, you know, anything out from under them because for some reason or another a new law had been passed that made it impossible for Jews to either operate a business or own a home. There were laws passed where Jews couldn't even be married to Germans. And, of course, you know, recently Israel has passed laws that strictly limit Jews marrying anybody outside the Jewish faith. So we have, you know, many, many immediate parallels.
But not only that, on the ground in Palestine, I mean, there's so many restrictions on the movement of Palestinians out of the occupied territories. And the occupied territories are very, very small. I mean, Gaza is about, you know, about 40 miles long by 10 to 15 miles wide.
And, yeah, imagine living in a place that's...
Well, in there you've got 1.3 million people.
1.3 million people and 40 miles by 15 miles wide. Now, just think about that, people. Just think about that. You can't go outside that limit. You can go 40 miles this way, 40 miles that way, and or 15 miles to either side.
For example, there's very few Palestinians who have passes to go and work in
the same was true in Germany before the Nazis... Began the Holocaust against the Jews. The same was true. They were very restricted on where they could go, what they could do, and then they started having to wear these armbands with these horrible yellow stars. You know, stigmatized. It was an absolutely atrocious way to treat human beings.
Yeah. Well, I mean, for example, for the few Palestinians that are allowed to go and work in Israel, there's one case where, and this is probably one of many cases, where a wife is married to two Palestinians, a man and a woman are married, and the man has a permit to go and work in Israel, and the wife doesn't. So basically, you know, he goes and he stays there, and because of the way the entries and exits into Israel from Palestine are set up, there's very few of them, and there's usually long lines. They're essentially army checkpoints, and they're subjected to all kinds of, you know, kind of metal detector tests and even x-ray tests.
Humiliations.
And that's the least of it, yeah, because there's humiliations and you know, just
deliberate
stalling.
And the humiliations were absolutely the norm in Germany. Humiliations of Jews, you know, I mean, I remember seeing some videos and photographs of Nazi soldiers or even just Nazi citizens, you know, forcing an elderly Jew off the sidewalk and driving him to his knees and laughing at him. I mean, I was brought to tears. I couldn't bear watching that. That was so horrible. That man was somebody's grandfather. That was somebody's father. It could have been my grandfather or my father, you know? And there they were humiliating him. And, you know, it's really a good thing that I didn't live in that time because I probably, well, maybe I did live in that time, but be that as it may, the fact is that every single thing that is being done to the Palestinians today was done to the Jews. The only thing is that in this time, for some incomprehensible reason that I can barely grasp, the Jews, who above all people should know what it's like to be persecuted, to have everything taken away from you, are participating in this genocide.
Well, the fact is that the entire world is participating because it's absolutely...
Nobody's speaking out.
It's absolutely shocking that the Palestinians in this tiny piece of land, the millions of them, are being mercilessly squeezed on all fronts. shot, abused, and essentially treated like animals. And there's lots of quotes from Israeli politicians that make it clear that the Israeli elite definitely do see them as a little more than animals.
Well, they've said so. They've been quoted as saying so out of their own mouths.
Recently, because Hamas have been elected the government in Palestine, the Israelis have now cut off all aid. Pretty much they're withholding taxes, and this is where the comment about them going on a diet that they'll get a little thinner.
Yeah, get a little thinner.
And these are people who are already suffering immensely.
And the taxes, it's not like they're withholding money that is coming from Europe or the United States that are funds to help them, which would be bad enough. Mm-hmm. But this is money that the Palestinians themselves have paid.
Yeah.
It's their
own tax money, and Israel saying, no, you can't have your own tax money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is happening, and the entire world is looking on and just doing nothing. I mean, they're silent.
The entire world was complicit in the Jewish Holocaust. We must never forget that. America sat by. All the other countries of the world sat by. England sat by. They all did nothing. While millions of Jews were exterminated. And today they're doing the same thing. And at the end of this thing that is going to happen on this planet, who is going to bear the blame?
Well, perhaps for me, kind of the most heinous aspect of the whole thing is that it's not, as is portrayed in the media, it's not... you know, the current situation, the dire situation of the Palestinians is not really their own fault. I mean, they're being blamed for electing this Hamas as a terrorist organization. And so a lot of people would suggest that it's their own fault, you know. But if you look a little deeper into it and look at the events around how we've got to where we are today, you can see the setup, the way the Palestinians have been set up and are being set up by Israel. It's like
the Jews were set up too. I mean, just think about the Reichstag fire. The Nazis did it. They burned the Reichstag themselves. And then now we see the same thing being done. Only there are many, many fingerprints of Mossad over most of the so-called suicide bombings. And of course, those fingerprints are all over the 9/11 attacks on America. Mm-hmm. There are no fingerprints of Muslim terrorists there.
No.
So history does cycle and repeat itself, people. And just think about the fact that at the end of World War II, over 65 million people were dead and one-third of the earth was uninhabitable.
Just to give some details of the setup that we're talking about, there is documented evidence that Hamas was essentially set up as a counterweight to the PLO some 20, 25 years ago by Israel. So Hamas as an organization was essentially funded and set up by Israel. And it has been nurtured up through those 20 years. And at the same time, you have the merciless squeezing of the Palestinians and the oppression and the brutality that's shown to them by Israel, which... The question is, the goal maybe was to force Palestinians into this kind of militant position where they had no other option but to support kind of some kind of an armed group. But I would even doubt that was the case. Because of Israel's kind of control of Hamas, I would even suggest that a lot of Palestinians don't actually...
Are you suggesting that Hamas was elected the same way George Bush was?
Well, why not? You know?
Oh, that's priceless.
And the fact is that now, because this is it's this game of niggy sob, you know, now I got you, son of a bitch, they basically tell them that they're terrorists, tell the world that they're terrorists, and then manipulate the situation so that to all intents and purposes they look like terrorists.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have to be an explicit fixing of the elections, because Hamas was the only opposition. So it was more subtle than that. I would suggest that Hamas was
like Kerry running against Bush.
Exactly.
I mean, what kind of choice is that?
Mm-hmm.
Between a rock and a hard place.
Yeah.
You know, and in any case now you have the Israeli defense minister just recently came out and said that the Palestinian people have made their government part of the axis of evil along with Syria and Iran. So now this is coming out just before the much kind of anticipated attack on Iran and maybe Syria at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Now the Israeli Defense Minister has lumped Palestinians in with Iran and Syria. So I mean, this idea of wiping out the Palestinians may be a lot closer than anybody thinks it is.
Yes. Not only that, there is another difference that I would like to point out. At the time of the rise of the Nazis, the Jewish population was relatively small percentage-wise compared to the rest of the population of the planet. This was due to a lot of reasons, not the least of which was assimilation. There were many Jews that were had essentially stopped being Jews. They had, for several generations, intermarried with non-Jews, and they had given up their religion. They had given up their cultural, their ethnic practices and beliefs. And the technically exactly defined Jewish population was relatively small. So it was fairly easy to turn on a more or less smaller population of defenseless people. They were defenseless because they were peaceful. I know a lot of people point out that there are nasty, evil things in the Bible that promote anti-Gentilism. But the vast majority of Jews, and I have Jews that are friends, we have Jews that are members of our group. You know, they aren't like that. I mean, they are capable of reading the Bible, reading the Torah, and weeding it out, saying, oh, well, those are things that, obviously referred to those times and those places. They don't refer to us now. But the big difference is there's over 1 billion Muslims on the face of the planet. That's 1/6 of the Earth's population. So if this turns into an anti-Muslim war, what do you think is going to happen? I don't think they're going to stand in line for the gas chambers.
To use a good Christian image, all hell is going to break loose.
You could say that. They're going to open the gates of hell, and the fire is going to leap out, and it's going to be all over but the crying, I'm afraid. But then that's what the Christians want. They want Armageddon, because if Armageddon comes along, then they can expect Jesus any moment. I have family members that believe this crap, believe it or not. They actually believe that if Armageddon begins, or if it's getting ready to begin, that just prior to it, that they're all going to be airlifted to the great cloud of glory in the sky. And then they're going to stand up there and they're going to watch everybody else get destroyed. And when it's all over and all the blood is dried up and all the carcasses have rotted, they're all going to come back and it's going to be like Eden. And Jesus is going to be their king and rule over them for 1,000 years. They really believe this. Trust me. I have family who believes this.
How can anyone believe that? How can I mean, what mechanism mechanism is it in the human psyche that... Because, I mean, there's nothing in anybody's life, in any of these people's lives, that I'm pretty certain that none of them have any experiences of daily phenomena.
No.
That would suggest that there is anything like the possibility of in this world, of Jesus to arrive on a cloud.
Yeah.
I mean, so why would they believe that? I mean, it's like believing
I don't know, a
cartoon or a fairy story.
Why would
story.
They believe that the world was created in 6 days? 6 days.
Yeah, and exactly. with intact fossils.
Yeah. That's the power of God, you know.
Yeah. It was a test that God was giving to us to see whether we'd see through this artifice of fossils.
No, that was Satan that did that.
Oh, it was?
He's testing us to see if...
Oh, he imitated God's works and he put these...
That's why he could only create fossils.
good try, Have another. So, we're in a fairly serious situation, people. And we don't know that anything other than raising awareness of people can make a difference. That's the only thing that can make a difference, is for people to become aware. Because at the bottom line, there is the old saying from my war-resisting days in the 70s, 60s. I'm not going to tell you how old I am here, that what if you gave a war and nobody came?
Mm-hmm.
Think about that. If you just don't participate because you're aware.
If you look at the setup and the obvious efforts that these people in power have gone to keep all of this hidden, there's a serious amount of energy and manpower and effort exerted in doing this. Now, that to me says that there's something very kind of central or instrumental to the entire operations and to all of the events that are happening in the world that is tied into the population on the planet. I mean, if they could just go ahead and do this and then ignore the people on the planet, then why they would do it. But and why do they go to so much effort to hide the facts from people? Because if those facts weren't hidden, what would happen? Do they know something
they
that
know.
We don't know.
They know they have to hide it.
That if it wasn't hidden, it wouldn't go anywhere.
Even though it's not hidden very well, they've certainly done a lot of things to make it so that people are less inclined to look for the answers, to look for the information. They've spent 50 years dumbing down the American population, drugging them with all kinds of pollutants in their food, in their toothpaste, in their water.
But that's the efforts that I'm talking about that they've gone to. These extreme
tremendous
efforts.
Tremendous efforts.
And it's not a matter, when we say hidden, that all this stuff, they've gone to this effort to hide this stuff from people. It's probably better said that they've gone to this effort to make sure that people believe the lie.
So because they can't do it without the people.
So, but that suggests, like you say, that, you know, our only kind of hope is for people to raise their awareness. But maybe that is all that's needed. Maybe there would be a massive change in everything
if people were aware.
If people simply didn't believe the lies.
Yeah, because if you don't believe the lies, are you going to let your child go down and enlist in the military and go and fight this ridiculous war? Of course you're not. And if your child is aware of the lies, do you think he is going to volunteer? Do you think he is going to pick up a gun and shoot somebody when he knows for a fact that his government is lying to him? Of course not. That's the whole thing. And that's why we need all the funding we can get, because we have to spread this information as far and as wide as possible, because the mainstream media, the media that is controlled by the various pathocratic individuals we discussed in the last week's podcast, they are working as hard as they can to conceal this information. And enough people, one at a time, have to become aware. Once a critical mass is reached, believe me, once a critical mass is reached, enormous numbers of people will begin to wake up as if by magic.
Yeah, well, that refers to the social climate, and that so many people may be thinking something. They may be having questions about Bush, having questions about what's going on in Iraq or Iran or in Palestine, but they're afraid to say anything because they have the impression that they're the only ones who think this way.
Yeah.
So if one person says it and somebody else says, well, you know, I think the same thing. Isn't that amazing?
Yep.
And then one by one, people will start to wake up and realize that they're not alone in having these questions.
Yep. Human beings, the masses of humanity, normal people. That's 94% of the population of this planet, normal people. There's only 6% of them ruling over us. 94%. Need to cooperate with one another and stop this madness. Stop the madness before it's too late.
That's it for this week. As usual, you can find more information on these topics at our website, signs-of-the-times.org. You can also discuss what you've heard on this podcast on our new forum. There is a link to the forum from the Signs page. And as Laura mentioned, we're in the midst of a fundraising drive in order to raise money so that we can counter the lies that you're getting in the mainstream media and to overcome the censorship of the media and of the gatekeepers who are trying to keep you stupid and ignorant. Give today, because only the truth will set us free. It's a question of your soul, people. So that's it for this week. See you again next week.